Welcome to the show. I'm here together with Florian at the IDS in Cologne. And Florian just talked with me about the injection molding technique. What is the injection molding technique, Florian?
First of all, hello everybody. Nice to meet you here, Georg. Yes, we talk about the injection molding technique. It's nothing new, but it, in several cases, it makes your workflow much easier and precise. I use it especially for raising the vertical, for creating some functionally new anterior or posterior guidance and a nice morphology on the molars and premolars.
Okay. How much vertical dimension are we talking here?
Oh yes, this is a good point. If we have to raise a very high level, I mean about 4 or 5 millimeters in the front, then this technique is not the best, because you have to inject a very big amount of composite, so you have some limits because of the thickness of the material. You need to light cure it, and the precision is also not the best. So we use it for a small or a middle raise of the vertical, I think about not more than 2 or 3 millimeters in the interior.
Okay. How does it clinical? You told me that you need a wax up and that you're actually doing the wax up by yourself. Is there anything the dentist have to take care of when he's doing the first impression with the patient? What does he have to take care of when he's doing the wax up? I mean, I see wax up from the labs where I can't do a silicone stand even for a normal composite. And so right now I can't imagine how to do it with ExaClear and do injectable. So what are the tricks the dentists need to know?
Yeah, the tips and tricks. Yes. At first you need some really good impressions of a perfect is a silicone. If you have a precise model made out of the impression, then you got a wax up. For me, I do the wax up only for myself when it's a little wax up in the front teeth. And if you need a full mouth wax up, of course I give this to my dental technician, because it would take days, and I won't have an end in this. So, and if you have the wax up, there are some tricks. If you can avoid that the injectable composite can't go into the proximal area, this is the point. In the back teeth,
yeah, posterior teeth,
we help us that we create some areas, mostly on the proximal walls where there's no wax, so the silicone key has perfect contact on this part, and also on the most distal part of the last tooth, and to the oral and to the vestibular side, there needs to be no wax. Okay. So the silicone key will fit perfectly. After that, we look for that the silicone key is not thicker than 2 or 3 millimeters, and we support the silicone with a translucent an impression tray. And through these two things, we make some holes, and the hole is made out of a very thin burr, and it must be a little smaller than your needle from the composite, so you can do the injection very precise.
Ah, nice.
And that's it.
Okay, but do you need to cover the neighboring tooth with Teflon or anything, or can you just, like, since you're kind of limited the wax up to the occlusal area, that you just inject the whole crown rund? What's your workflow in posterior?
I always try to be fast and precise, so we only use the Teflon for the next teeth we don't want to build up. So for example, if we do full mouth reconstruction and I want to transfer the wax up situation into the mouth with the injection molding technique, I do it in three steps. First, the left side from the premolars to the molars, and I will do the Teflon on the canine, so then everything is fine. Then I do the other side, and in the third point I do the anteriors.
Okay, so but the anteriors, you all said at the beginning that you sometimes even like have just some mild incisal edges, for example the incisal of the canine you want to build up to have your functional guidance.
Yes.
And some mild incisal in the front. This is manageable just with one stand, no isolation of the neighboring teeth with Teflon. How does it work that you don't have anything in the proximal area?
I know what you mean. If it's only a little amount of reconstruction, then you can build up your wax up just very, very low, so your silicone key will fit in every proximal area, so you have no problem with the axis. Yes, perfect. You have no problem with the axis. If you have to recreate a very big amount of tooth, so you also want to build up a new proximal contact, then this technique will not be so fast, because you have to do it tooth by tooth. For every tooth you have, of course, to isolate the neighbor teeth with a Teflon. Yes.
Okay, great. So what's your clinical time you're talking about for this small cases or your clinical setup? First, me have the patient, you probably already talked about the functional issues. You do the first impression, do the wax up. And then how much time do you plan for the injection technique? For example, if it's an easy case, as
easy
you described.
Easy case like canine to canine. Yeah. Interior. Then I plan about 1 hour and it's relaxed.
Yeah. I mean, I know that you're also using the injectable for normal composite cases.
Yes.
So what's your polishing protocol after that injection molding in the front? Do you need to polish a lot, or is it due to the wax up already smooth enough?
Yeah, well, due to the wax up, you can create a very smooth surface. So the protocol for polishing is just about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
I do the excess with a sharp number 12.
Scalpel,
yes. And afterwards some Soflex, the Meisinger silicone wheels.
Oh, okay,
you know.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, and the high gloss with a, like you want, a gold brush with a paste.
Oh, okay.
And that's it.
Oh, that's, so it's, and how long are the patients running around with this functional injection?
Yeah. You mean the bear of this?
No, actually, how much time are you waiting till the definitive bonding of the possible?
This depends. Sometimes I do it for a long-term reconstruction, and I don't plan anything more, because the amount of rebuild of the teeth is very, very low.
Mm.
And if I use it as a long-term provisional, I wait. It depends from case to case, but at least 3 months.
Okay.
And I try to check out if the function is good, if there is some wear or something like that, and we can also change the occlusion if we want or need to.
Do you have a favorite color shade for the anterior injectable? what you're using most of the time? Because that's something some people might ask themselves. Well, I mean, the injectable has a lot of colors. Which should they? Which one would you advise?
My favorite color is the A2.
The A2, okay.
Yes, it fits for most of the people. But if you are not sure, just make a digital color shades plan.
Yeah. I mean, with the injection technique, you kind of are stuck to one color, I would say.
Yes.
It's not like that you're trying to add different colors. It's probably getting unpredictable.
Yes, of course. Yeah. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if you want, you can inject an enamel color.
Okay, which
and
one?
Like you want, the dark or the bright enamel.
Okay. I mean, for example, some people might not know the GC color scheme, so you mean...
So you have an yes, of course, you have an adult enamel color and a young enamel color.
Okay.
So the adult enamel color is more translucent, and the young one is brighter and not that translucent.
Okay. But up till what age would you suggest the young enamel color?
This depends
okay.
On the tooth.
Okay.
There's no age of the or the patient, which is which means that you have to use this or that.
Color. Just as a rule of thumb, kind
yes,
of.
Yes.
I mean, usually when you have rare, of course, it hits young people the same way as it could hit any other age. Color is always a question.
Yes.
We all both know when the wax up is really good, we have a good form, so the color doesn't matter too much anymore.
Yeah, you're perfectly right. What I wanted to say, if you want to make more shades and to do a high-end aesthetic filling in the front, then you can use the injection molding technique to create the first form, and you can do it like a cutback on the technician side. Then you have just the incisal edge and the lateral form, and then you can recreate the mamelons with the dentin shade and the surface with a new enamel shade if you want.
Actually, the cutback technique is something which is one of the most interesting things in the future, I would say.
Yeah, definitely.
We probably just have, or just even CAD/CAM some monoblocks for composite restorations in the front and just do a mild cutback to give them some nice aesthetics.
Yeah.
You're also doing courses for GC. So tell us what courses you're doing.
Yes, I'm very happy that GC want me to do some hands-on courses for dentists. So if you want to learn something more about high-end aesthetics in anterior reconstruction with a composite.
Which GC composite are you using?
Most of the time I use the Essentia because there are only 7 colors and I love to have not that much colors. And you can learn how to use these kind of shades. This is completely different to everything you know before with the Vita system. And this makes, not everything, but the most of the time it makes it much more predictable and easier. Yes. And then the second thing, you can learn something more about the injection molding technique. I start courses in the summer together with my buddy technician Benjamin Fotteler. Maybe you know him from the Evoclar. And we do some courses starting this summer.
Okay, so it will be a one-day course?
Yes, one-day course for team players with the dental technicians together with her dentist or his dentist.
Nice.
And they learn the technical part with the wax up and the extra clear part. And we also train the clinical part, but of course at the modal.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Nice. And you're also doing a workshop here at the GC booth?
Yes.
When will it
be? I do with my colleagues from GC Europe some workshops for anteriors and posteriors. Mm. Yes, I'm happy to see you there.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot for the talk.
Yes. And greetings to my big friend, Christian Lamson from Karlsruhe.
I will tell him.
Bye.